Welcome to the Lately in PHP podcasting. God, I never know what to say. Anyway, this is episode number 40, and finally we made time to record this hangout. This time, again, Hernani Joffer is back. Hello, Hernani. Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, despite that last month we were able to do it, but in the middle of the podcast or the hangout, we had a disconnection, and then we had trouble doing it. So I guess Cesar attended the other event.
Yeah, this time it was the other way around. Actually, Cesar was going to make this time again, but for some reason his internet connection went somewhere. I have no idea. He's no longer available. Well, anyway, this month we are recording this hangout a bit later than usual. For some reason, actually, for a reason that I mentioned last month, I went to a Google event and I had to postpone the recording for about 1 week that I've been there. Don't worry, it was not exactly anything related with PHP, some other business somewhat related with PHP classes, but not specifically with the PHP world, so there is not much to mention about that. Anyway, let's move on and start talking about the latest things that happened and in the PHP world. I would like to start, as usual, by the things that were released, specifically PHP releases, starting for the latest PHP 5.54 that was released on 19th. And also PHP 5.520. This time there is also not much to say about these releases because they are mostly bug fixes. And practically both releases, 5.4 and 5.5, are more or less about the same bugs. So this is just a maintenance release, nothing to be really concerned in terms of what you should do. As always, the recommendation is if you are already using this PHP 5.4 or 5.5, you may want to check if any of the bugs that were fixed affect your PHP setups. If not, okay, maybe leave the an eventual upgrade for later. Because what may happen is that while these releases fix some bugs, they may also introduce new bugs that may affect your PHP setups. So there is not really much more to say about this. So let's move on to other PHP topics of interest. We are going to review several feature proposals that have been around. This time you have even more than last month because PHP developers are really concerned about what we'll make into the next PHP 5 version or even PHP 6. We never know if it is something more complicated, but there are many, many proposals, and we are starting talking about this one that talks about something that they call argument packing, which is basically let me increase the font here, which is basically the way you pass lists of parameters that may vary in length. Usually you can pass a variable number of parameters, just passing all the parameters in a list separated with commas, but you can the proposal for now is also to pass arrays or some equivalent objects and there is now now being introduced this syntax of an ellipsis before the actual argument list. And well, I'm not sure if I have a use case that for my purposes this would be useful, but there were great discussions about this proposal, so I guess people have more use cases than I probably would. Hernani, do you have code applications that call functions with variable number of arguments, or you are not a frequent user of such type of functionality?
I've used it before to basically simplify method calls, but not this one. I've used call user func, and I've seen the usage on some frameworks, which basically you can use for callbacks. CodeIgniter, I guess, uses it for callbacks.
Yeah.
And but I mean, argument unpacking. The idea for passing as in an array of arguments and naming the arguments, I guess there are other proposals here which seems better in our list, and we'll probably look at those later on. So I will hold until then, so when
okay.
I can explain the idea I have inside of it.
Yeah, so let's move on to the next feature. Here, basically, it's another proposal for a syntax for variadic functions. Actually, it's a bit even confusing because it seems all these proposals are talking about the same, which is passing a variable number argument. You see again here the syntax of passing, specifying an ellipsis, three dots before the name of the argument.
Right.
So it's as sort of as a mark of defining that parameter is actually a parameter list. So all the parameters before this one are fixed, and this one is sort of is a parameter list rather than a single parameter.
Right.
And well, this is basically, as I mentioned, things that address the same need, the passing a variable number of arguments. And well, probably I'm not the best person to comment about this because I don't use this much. So what matters for now is that this is something that is being discussed a lot. And as you mentioned, there are several other proposals that sort of address several aspects of the same need regarding variable number of arguments. And so moving on with this, let's pass to the next feature proposal. Actually, there are more other feature proposals that are related with this, but I'm listing all the feature proposals that I found by chronological order. So the next one is not related with variable numbers of arguments, but it's related with more something that it's also not a frequent need, but has to do with creating networking servers of using sockets to listen to some port, and you can use some PHP functions to determine how the connections to an eventual server that you have will be handled. There is this extension in PHP named sockets, but this usually is not compile built in the base PHP distribution. So the proposal here by Daniel Lowry is to be able to not only create a socket, but also listen to the port, eventually a TCP IP port, and do it in a way that works well in traditional Linux systems on which you create a process, child process that will handle the connections. So the proposal here, it's more to use functions that will be available in the regular PHP distribution. There is already this stream socket server, which is to create a socket to accept connections. And then you, the new function that is being proposed is stream socket listen to connections on the created socket server. Well, this is very specific for people that know and understand networking programming, I mean, internet connections and so. And for this is not something that every application has a need for. For instance, you create a server to accept connections from an eventual chat system on which there are users connecting to that chat system. You
right,
could
and
use
not only that, but I guess it would also benefit some socket binging when you need a JavaScript situation. It could be that you could write a socket-based service that would interface with a JavaScript client well, using sockets.io and stuff. But
that's the case.
It's something really specific, and it's like right. Considering the performance of the process that are being forked, and some benefits of the Linux kernel as well.
Yes, there are some specifics here. I think it's not worth going into much detail because this is relatively low-level programming, and most of developers do not do this. Hernani, have you ever programming with sockets, creating socket servers for some purpose, or?
Yes, before we used to write a socket server based in Java, because we haven't had application servers in the past, so all the processing of information was a dedicated socket with a dedicated amount of information exchanged between clients and servers. And basically,
but
it's
nothing on PHP.
Yeah, it's nothing related with PHP, but in the end, it could be done. And the more we see these kinds of supports on all languages, it's better.
Right.
And I would say it's a good thing to have it because of the current situation of the internet. There is a need of a dedicated socket server, and if you build a service on top of that, like a socket.io implementation or something on the server side, it would be beneficial.
Right. Well, I think most networking connections nowadays go through HTTP, so...
For sure, yes.
You use a regular HTTP server instead of creating your own sockets in PHP. So this must be for very specific purposes. And you could always already do this in PHP, just use the sockets extension. But so the actually new thing in this proposal is just to move some of the function. Duplicate. The functionality in the using the streams extension that comes built in PHP. So there's not much more to say about this. Therefore, I'm going to move on and pass to the next feature proposal here, which this time is about name parameters. Again, this feature is something that was already proposed in the past, but there was some discussion. In the past, what was proposed is to have something that would allow somewhat what is possible. I think it is in Python that you can have can pass arguments to a function by any order as long as you specify the name of the parameters. So in this example here, you can see, for instance, you can call a function this way, passing the parameters by order, or this way, using the names names of parameters.
Yes, and this is where I would say, when we were talking about the other two specifications.
Right.
If you scroll down here, it's even mentioned that the state of this RFC lists the verdicts and argument unpacking RFCs as well. And this seems to be a more specific and more well organized way of structuring this requirement, because then it's based off on an associative array with the key and value pair.
Yes, but in reality, it's not.
You don't remember the order of the arguments, but you remember right. Which ones are the ones you need.
Yes, but this is not really an array. It's just it looks like the array definition, but it doesn't have the array. So these and also the apparent indexes are not quoted. So these are not strings.
Right.
These are just are identifiers that say that this name corresponds to the start index. Parameter. The only thing here that you can say is that, for instance, these parameters do not need to match the order, the original order that is in the function declaration.
Right.
So this is good because if, for instance, you don't remember the order, well, usually you would look up the PHP documentation to see the right order. But in the end, this here, it's less readable than this. Because you don't know that this first argument, just looking at this code, you don't know that this argument is the start index. So if you have this is more readable, but at the same time you have to type more code.
Right.
But at least you, for the person that is reading it, you can make it in a way that is easier to understand.
Yeah, so given this example below on my screen here, you will see that it's even less code in some situations.
Yeah, well, it can be less code because you can also omit arguments.
Right.
Because those arguments have default values and the default values are acceptable, so if the default values are acceptable, you do not need to pass any values for them. And you can also put in a different order, can skip parameters, and in the end you can have a more readable code, but you also have to type more. But for instance, if you have 10 arguments, you only need to pass 5, you only write 5 parameter and value pairs here. So, having this feature implemented, it will be up to the developer to define how he wants to present his code, eventually in a more readable way, or eventually taking less parameters, because all the defaults for the remaining parameters are okay. So this has been a feature that has been under great debate. It has been requested in the past. The way I think this would be implemented is that if you write it this way with parameter and value pairs, the resulting compiled PHP code would be turned into this, because PHP at the compile time will know that the right order, so there is no loss of performance. Some people have been suggesting in the past that the parameters could be passed in an array, but in reality that is less efficient than if the PHP engine could rewrite the order of the parameters just by looking at the names. So there is no loss of performance with this solution, from what I understood. But, there has been a lot of debate about this, and at least now this addresses a need that many developers have, it's nothing so fundamental, but okay, if it addresses the need of some, I guess it will be useful, at least for those developers. Other than that, PHP, despite it's an open source product, it's not like PHP is being sold as a product that costs money. It is important to keep the PHP, I would say, having a regular set of new features to demonstrate vitality, so people keep...
Yeah, I guess it would benefit on the verbiage side and on the, how can I say, it would improve the way you teach people to which are not familiar with PHP. It would be better for them to understand the language and at least make it a little bit more flexible in a way. So I'd say it's a good implementation. It's a good thing to know that it would be possible. And I was looking at, while you were speaking, I was looking at the changes, and it doesn't seem to be a major change at all.
Yes. Yes, that's one good thing, is that the people that have been proposing these features have already prepared some patches to apply this, and they have already supplied the code, so it's more a matter of deciding whether the feature is accepted or not than actually the effort to develop the feature, because somebody already did it. And moving on to the next feature, which still I have some relation with this, is regarding the use of reserved names for that are usual for keywords in other places. For instance, certain names cannot be used in a way that may confuse the PHP parser. So there's this new proposal for supporting keywords as for names of, for instance, constant. A constant is defined by a name, and unlike variables, they do not have a dollar sign before them. So what they did is to allow this syntax to be supported, because with the use of reserved words, for instance, in this case, in this example here, that is the word named continue, defined as a constant for this class. And but continue is also a keyword for a control command that can be used inside loops to move on to the next loop iteration. So nowadays, in the current PHP version, this would fail with a parse error. So the idea is to extend this the PHP engine to allow these constants, these names to be used, for instance, in constants. And this is related also to the feature that I mentioned before regarding the named parameters for functions.
Right.
Because with the new syntax that I'm trying to show here as an example, you would present the parameter names this way without any dollar signs on anything. And for instance, if you could call this, if you have a parameter named continue, it currently you could not use this. So with this proposal to use to allow an extended use of keywords, this way you can avoid this limitation of the engine to use reserved keywords for in different places. Hernani, did you ever had the need to use certain names that are reserved words in PHP and could not use them because it's reserved word and the syntax would not allow it, or
I haven't. But I've seen situations like at the first, when the user is beginning to program PHP, they may have a collision of keywords because they are not familiarized with it. But I wouldn't see any conflict unless the developer is doing something really, really advanced.
Yeah, right. And there is also the concern that in the future, more control keywords may be added in the future versions. And if you have used the this name parameter syntax, as I let's say if you, for instance, in this case, in a future PHP version, you introduce a reserved keyword named value, would do something. If it becomes a reserved keyword the way it is now, this this structure here would not be allowed, because and it would cause backwards incompatible changes. So this feature of providing an extended keyword support to allow these situations to have names that may cause some syntax errors. It's I would say that would be proposals that need to be implemented at once at the same time. I mean, so the next PHP version does not cause any backwards incompatible changes for the current PHP versions and also for the future versions. So it is interesting that all these proposals are somewhat related, as you also mentioned before. And if you see here
the author of this proposal here, which is Bob Weinand, he refers to the named parameter syntax, and it also prevents unnecessary workarounds.
Yeah.
So it's benefiting that specific one. So you can write a function array with a little arrow value here instead of having to write the function and the array with a sort of an associative array,
right,
and having to double quote it. And then it would probably benefit. And I guess that this is the detailed situation. And this one is the other one. This one is the just random thoughts on the PHP internals, and this is the official RFC. And I was looking into the GitHub page where he proposes the patch here. And if we dig into that, we can check out the latest commits here. And it seems that the user has had a lot of work to this specific one, because he's changing most of the scanner, the language scanner files, to avoid
this is a new syntax. Obviously, it needs to
and it changes a lot
here. Parser.
Yeah, and it changes a lot here. So you see, the scanner has a lot of changes. But when he mentions that it doesn't affect or breaks any backwards compatibility. So it's nice to see.
Right, that's a good step to avoid any problems in the future, because.
And then he mentions here, furthermore, when backwards compatibility needs to be broken in the future for new keywords, it will have a smaller impact, as most usages of the new keyword tends to work.
Right.
So it's nice to see that.
That was the concern that I was mentioning. If in the future new keywords are introduced, and you have used that syntax for the named parameters, probably it would start giving parser errors when you use named parameters that are future reserved keywords. So.
Yeah.
The idea is just to drop the reserved status of.
Yeah,
those keywords.
But I would say a first come first serve situation would be good as well.
Yeah, well, in practice, let's see if there are no other cases that will cause problems. Personally, I think it's great that the language is moving on, but for me, it's not exactly that something that I need. As I mentioned already in the past, PHP for me is pretty much feature complete. On the other people prefer to implement new features, and also for marketing purposes of the PHP language, it's important to have the language renewed. So anyway, we talked a lot already about this. Let's move on to the next feature proposal. I'm going to start sharing here. It's precisely about anonymous classes. And this is a feature that I think to myself, is this really something that we need? Anonymous classes, first, what are anonymous classes? And then you are more familiar with the Java world. This is something that came from the Java world, or is it something different that is being proposed for future PHP versions?
Yeah, basically in Java you have inner classes. It avoids documentation. It avoids the need of structuring your code and bloating your namespace, because basically it's only used inside of that the scope of that parent class. So there is, of course, there is a need for this in some situations, because the developer doesn't want to have to document everything. So it makes sense to have this, but it's not a major thing. Within the introduction here, the author already says here that for some time PHP has featured anonymous function support in the shape of closures, and he's like trying to introduce the same kind of functionality for objects of anonymous classes. So that's the overall idea that he's trying to do. So he basically listed the intentions of his achievement. And I would say
in your experience, can you give a realistic use case for such a feature? When
not in PHP, I've seen some real use examples in the complex APIs, like the Java Swing implementation, the Java AWT implementation, which are graphical user interfaces libraries. So I can't come right off the bat with a probable situation where it would be useful in PHP, but I can see frameworks using this, because frameworks may have inner classes that are only relying on their specifics.
Right.
And there is no intention of inheriting it or anything else. It's just trying to wrap things up. And I would say it's a good thing to adopt. Not necessarily major, but it's a nice proposal to see coming through. Again, it also represents the ability of the language to be more well-versed, more complex, and more, let's put it this way, easy to use, and avoid the need for externalizing files, and having everything on one file would be could save time from the main developer, time to explain things.
Yeah.
Imagine in your case you're writing a package for PHP classes, and you don't want to have to document all the files. So inside of one class of yours, you have some inner classes that are doing things that pertains only to that specific parent class. So that's the idea. And you wouldn't even have to commit a large amount of files.
Right. Well, I don't know. I've yet to see a compelling use case for this, but okay. Maybe people have compelling use cases for this, but I've not seen none, so it's, I'm not saying that there are none. I'm just saying that it's not the case that I know any. So moving on to the next feature, also something that I would like you to comment, because it's precisely yet another of those features that seem to have come from the Java world. In this case, is the use of the possibility to create nested classes. Can you confirm if this is yet another thing that came from the Java world, or it's just my impression?
Yeah, of course it came from another language concept, and But PHP already has implemented lots of other functionalities from other languages. And if I say Java, I'm lying, because Java came from another language as well. So it's a recursive situation, but PHP does what it does, and it does well. And it's nice to see that it's grabbing other useful resources from other languages as well. I mean, I don't get into the battle of having to copy things, because it's not a copy, it's just a better approach. And if you're benefiting from one concept of another language, why not? At least what we are doing here are software. So if you wouldn't have other languages and doing things the way we prefer and the way we consider best, we would be always programming assembly. And we wouldn't have any other languages to write.
Yes, right. The question here is not more, not exactly whether the language should evolve or not, but rather, first, what are these nested classes and what they are useful for?
Yeah, it would be useful to reduce the amount of code, to avoid the lack of having to document the necessary classes.
Let's start from the beginning. What are nested classes? Basically, here it shows a class declared inside another class.
Right. Basically, you're nesting a specific object inside of another object, which is, since you're programming object-oriented, you have the ability to instantiate the inner class inside of the parent class or extend it. So,
yes, here you can see some examples. You can even declare classes inside classes as, you know, private and public. And from what I can see, it is the class declared inside a sort of adopts a sub namespace. So in this case, if the class foo is under this namespace, the class bar inside will be inside the foo bar namespace.
Right.
So it seems that the idea is to not have to declare the namespaces explicitly, given the namespaces are just the class names. I mean, the top namespace and the sub namespace. And, well, again, what would be the use case for this? Why would you want to have, other than just to sort the declarations of the namespaces or avoid having the trouble to declaring them explicitly, what would be the use cases for this? Because the examples here are mostly to show how you would do things, not exactly.
Right. Now I
what
get
would
what
be
you
this. I'm asking you because you came from the Java world, and the Java world also has these things. I'm not sure if they call it the same. And anyway, I wanted to ask you, what do you think this?
Yeah, in Java, it's basically
can be useful in practice.
Nested classes and anonymous classes are the same, basically the same thing in Java world. So I would say that the proposal of the nested classes would be the same thing as anonymous classes. So would say that anonymous classes would be a benefit to the language, and it has already proven a specific use.
Right. I think you mean that the purpose is not the same. Is that they have also, both have their purposes.
No, it's basically the same thing with different names.
Nested classes, anonymous classes, no, not the same thing. Yeah. Because anonymous classes have names. I mean,
yes,
nested classes
You don't have to have a name.
Right, but they are not the same thing in this case.
No, they present the same behavior, but you don't have to name it.
Well, the difference here is that let me reopen the anonymous class definition here. So that for anonymous classes, the difference is that you can declare a class here. This is the class, and then you immediately create an object of that class without naming the class something. That's the these are anonymous classes. Yeah. You can have anonymous classes inside classes or not. When you have classes declared inside classes, those are nested classes, so the purpose is not the same. The purpose here is just to avoiding to declare a class with a name when we're just going to use a single object of that class.
Right.
You class this. Now, for nested classes, you have classes inside the classes. And
right, but here, when you implement inner classes, which is the same as anonymous classes in Java, you can have both inner classes, named inner classes, and anonymous inner classes.
Right, but anonymous classes may be declared outside classes at all, because in PHP, you don't, unlike in Java, you can have code that is not a class.
Right.
For instance, this code here could be in a global namespace, so it wouldn't be nested inside a class. Now, nested classes is just class declarations here, and there's a class declaration inside of it. So one thing does not have to does not imply the other. And the question was more, what would be the purpose of each of these features, and when would be a good time to use them for
something? Yeah, unfortunately, the author here, when proposing the nested classes option, he haven't show a practical use, and it's hard to identify
the benefit of it compared
to the other one, which is the anonymous classes example.
Yeah. What it says is just a way to a nested class is a class declared in a virtual namespace. So you have a namespace for this class, and inside that class there is a new class that defines a virtual namespace inside of it. So like it mentions here, the package class has the namespace foo, and the nested class inside named bar as the namespace foo bar. But other than that, what is the purpose of this? When you use it, it's not clear. As you mentioned, it does not present an example. So yeah, there might be good use case for this, but for me, it's more and more features that probably PHP does not need at all. No. Think about it. Where are these, the real-world examples? The real demonstration that this is really needed. And well, I'm afraid that all this push to add more features, probably to make it look like in the Java world, may not be so useful. And the engine starts becoming bloated. So they probably have a good explanation for this, but I'm just not seeing it.
On this example of nested classes is really confusing.
Right.
The anonymous classes situation means more to me.
Right.
And, I couldn't see any real situation where you would need a virtual namespace inside of a class.
Yes.
But in the end, who am I to say what is best and what is not, right?
Right. Well, for me, PHP already has many, many features that I do not use, so this would be one more.
Right.
Probably with a more bloated PHP engine that takes more memory, but
right.
Okay, go and figure. Anyway, moving on to the one last new feature. Actually, it's not exactly a feature, but it was a discussion that appeared in PHP internals list regarding the generation of session IDs.
Right.
This one started by Yasuo Ogaki. It is talking about the regeneration of session IDs automatically when the IP address has changed. So session IDs are values that are usually assigned to cookies that are passed on each request. So when PHP executes a script, it may implicitly retrieve the session variables associated with that ID. But for security reasons, I mean, to prevent that some eavesdropping process takes place, and the session ID gets stolen, and gets that session is used by somebody that's trying to do something illicit on a site, and accesses the site with the same session ID, and takes advantage of the user account for some purpose illegal that may cause harm to the original user. So in this case, the proposal is to regenerate a new session ID automatically every time the IP address changes. And there was a debate regarding this. So when would the IP address changes of a user? For instance, the user starts a new internet connection from the same computer, same browser. For some reason, he connected to a different network. The session ID that the server sees is the same. So what this proposal seems to be requesting is that having some option that in PHP tells it to create a new session ID and replace the old one if the user changed the IP address. It may also be the case that the user changing the IP address be actually a user that has stolen the session ID and is accessing the same site from a different IP address. I don't know if this is going to solve any security problems, because once the session ID is stolen by somebody that is abusing, it is stolen. The only thing is that the user probably will the original user may notice it because the session stopped working, because somebody else is using this session from another computer. So I don't know if this is a good idea, because once stolen, it is stolen. Most users do, if they are being their accounts are being abused, they will not know this way. So there was a discussion regarding this feature, but in the end, nothing was really. People involved in discussion were not convinced that this was really necessary. I don't know if you and any of you faced any security issues regarding stolen sessions. What is your experience in this?
I guess Runabop here on the same discussion thread. I was looking into the discussion thread to try to understand the need of it. He explains it well. So say you have many front ends with load balancing and public IP addresses. Those front ends talk on a private IP range to backend machines. So the session can come from in any public IP, be proxied and handed off to the backend server. So by the way, this is not hypothetical. So he's saying it's about his work at AppFlog. Some actual members to explain, our Singapore location, for example, has 29,000 websites with six incoming IP addresses talking to 27 website nodes. Regenerating session keys is a waste of CPU at that scale, and as giving users requests may jump to around six different inbound addresses and any numbers of servers. So he has a good takeaway point. Binding session IPs doesn't work at scale.
Yeah.
Seeing that the IP address has changed, it is totally useless to detect hijacking. Session libraries that are expecting states on the internet are fundamentally broken by design. And I would want to know a better explanation on this topic here, but maybe he has a point. And then he has
that's what I think, because.
And then he has a little
There are other complicating factors like the proxies. Proxies keep changing the IP address that is visible to the web server. So it would detect something that is not even hijacking a session.
Yeah.
Hijacking.
Now I get his explanation. He said that session libraries that are expecting a state on the internet are fundamentally broken by design. I mean, session libraries wouldn't expect any state. It would provide state to the backend, to the user machine. So it's a state management situation. It's not expecting any other state. It has to provide states, but not to, and to provide and maintain, but not to expect any other role. It's a negotiation between the browser and the backend server. And then he has a funny rant here, which says there is no such thing as secure HTTP session ever. The protocol by design does not allow it ever. You can add layers such as HTTPS to make things better, but if you want to a secure communication, don't use the internet. I guess he is going a little bit off the grid, but
that last comment is totally not necessary because just because you cannot make things 100% secure, it doesn't mean that you cannot improve security somehow. So if you can use HTTPS instead of HTTP, it's better. It's more secure than not using. So I don't agree with that statement. Other than that, the rest of the justification, I think that's describes exactly what I think. This would be more a complication, and there's not great need for what is proposing, at least as far as I could get. But it's really challenging to make secure systems on the web, especially now that the issues of NSA deep involvement in spying connections and having access to user private data and the activities have been a greater concern than in the past. Not that it didn't exist in the past, just it became a greater concern. So, this question seemed to have not gone anywhere, and probably nothing will not be done in PHP to make things more secure this way, because that's probably not the way it goes. The idea of regenerating session IDs in PHP automatically on every access has some purpose, but you also have to have some caution. But anyway, that's not what is being discussed here with this proposal. Well, basically, with this, you practically talk about many topics of interest that happen, things that happen in the PHP world. Now we're going to move on to the next regular section, now that you're reaching the end of this podcast, which is basically first to talk about winners, class that were nominated to the Innovation Award first in the JS class site, so it would be JavaScript objects. And then we move on to the PHP ones. So, Hernani, which ones would you like to comment this month?
Okay, so I already have my screen share here. And let me just increase my font size and go through this example here. Igor Escobar has provided a sort of a remote testing tool which can render HTML pages on the server side and provide a diff solution. I wouldn't say I didn't see the generated example here, so there isn't a valid output to understand how it's doing. But basically, it's reading the DOM and trying to render it on the server side. And I would say generating a PNG out of the DOM, it's good for visual, but it would be also good to know the differences on the text as well, on the HTML, on the JavaScript, on the whole object model as a diff tool. So maybe this could be improved as a diff tool as well, to provide a diff to see if anything broke or there is any difference between version A and version B, let's say. But it's a nice component. It's nice to see test components coming through. Pablo Igor Escobar, he's from Brazil, and it's nice to see that there are more Brazilians contributing to JS classes.
Oh, you are just biased. You're just because you are from Brazil.
No, not at all, not at all.
I'm just kidding.
True, but
it's a nice component. Just would like to add that, as you mentioned, it uses. It can capture screenshots of a given page using Casper.js. Casper.js, from what if I'm not mistaken, this is a headless browser or something like that, which means it's a sort of it's a JavaScript library that can render pages without actually being a user interface browser that the right. users can see the browser controls and such. It's just a browser that can access pages, but it can render the pages to files, and what this, I mean, to image files. So this object from Igor does is to compare images, eventually from different page screenshots, so we can detect if there were changes that were not intended, probably caused by bugs that made the applications to break. So this is interesting. That can be used specifically for testing purposes. So congratulations right. to Igor for that. So other than that, which other JavaScript class object would you like to comment?
Okay, the second one, my pick for this month, would be the Animate 3D Carousel of images using HTML5 canvas. So when he means HTML5, I haven't looked into the real source code, and we were previously talking about it. It seems to be using WebGL as well.
Actually, implicitly, it would use WebGL by the means of using the 3JS library. I think in this case, it requires WebGL because it's optimizing for the 3D hardware supported by the underlying machines.
Right, and it seems to be, Mr. Dube did it, so it's a crazy thing. Yeah, it's a limited component, but it's nice to see JavaScript, the power of JavaScript scaling to that situation. And I've already saved here the demo page which the user provided, and it's nice to see that they are providing examples like this.
Yeah.
And you can basically zoom things up. I'm not sure if the screencast will translate
the demo. You can see it very clearly. You can drag the... I think it also works on touch interfaces, not just those
right.
that are browser.
You can basically you touch here, you double click it, and you can spin things up.
Yeah. Yes, at and, least in
you can basically touch
modern machines with good hardware. It can scroll. I mean, animate the pictures very quickly.
So if you click on the background picture, it will bring it to the front. So
right,
nice to see. You can zoom things up. It's nice, very nice to see this in JavaScript.
Right. Well, most of the hardware 3D interfacing code is, inside the 3JS library. But it's interesting the final effect, which is to it's similar to those carousel of pictures that many sites expose, but
right.
Using pictures scrolling horizontally. In this case, it just gives a 3D effect of putting the pictures circulating in a virtual 3D space. So that's very interesting. On my part, I also like to comment on a couple of objects. I would like to start first here by this library named Optics. In this case, it was
developed. Yeah, and I would see that the tab carousel here on my memory management parts, it is not. It's using a little bit of CPU, but. Yeah, it's using a little bit, really real little bit, and but it's going okay. It's not that harming that much on my Chrome, so it has a good performance.
Yes, and also to not forget to mention that this one was developed by Nikos from Greece. He's been submitting many components. Actually, three were nominated to the Innovation Node Award, and a couple of them have won. Anyway, I was already moving to the next one. In this case, it is a library that implements optics algorithm, basically to find clusters of points that are related somehow. This component was developed by friends Josef Brunner from Austria, and it's very interesting because it allows you to sort of make sense of a set of points that are in 2D space, and those points are represents sparse data, and in this case this algorithm allows to detect when subsets of points are part of clusters. So that probably those are points that represent the same values, but they are just affected by some rounding errors or something like that.
Right.
Anyway, this is very, very technical, very, very specific for whatever the purpose that this algorithm is used. But anyway, kudos to friends Josef Brunner for this component. Next one, there is a much more simpler explanation for this other component, which is basically a template engine named Contemplate. And actually, this is a two-part component. There is a PHP part and a HTML part. And what this component addresses is the need to avoid to have different content, template engines, to generate a page output, so the HTML output for parts of pages. So basically, it's a template engine that has a syntax that is the same for either the PHP version and the JavaScript version. And this one is again from Nikos.
I can't see your screen. You're not sharing it, right?
Sorry, it stopped the. Let me restart. It stopped the screen sharing. It stops the screen sharing for some reason. Probably when I minimize the screen. Anyway, as I was showing it here, but nobody was seeing.
Right.
Page does not have much details. You probably need enough to show here. Anyway, as I was saying, this is a library that has two parts. The one part is in JavaScript here, and the other part in PHP. Here I'm trying to show just what this looks like. And there's a template here. There's some data that is passed as parameters, and the results appear here. This package was also nominated for the Innovation Award in PHP the same month because, as I mentioned, it was a library in two parts, and the PHP part was also nominated for the Innovation Award, which is the PHP part is here, and the JavaScript part is in the JS classes site. Anyway, now that I'm missing the next section, which would be the Innovation Award at the PHP classes site, Hernani, which PHP classes would you like to mention?
Okay, let me switch to my screen sharing. There you go. So my vote, my first pick would be the Apache filter, Apache log filter.
Yes.
Who knows who has used Apache? Sorry?
If you can just increase a bit the font.
Yeah. Sorry. So, the author is Jane from Finland. Congratulations, Jane. You've provided a very useful component here, which seems to be useful for reading and filtering logs from Apache.
Right.
And for us mere mortals who uses PHP with Apache, sometimes we don't have the time to explore the whole log, and we can't tail it. We can't provide regular expressions to filter it using grep and such things. So it's nice to see that there is a real component here
yes.
that can achieve this functionality. And my vote for him Congratulations again.
Right. This is interesting because nowadays the vast majority of the access is done by two websites is done by robots. Could be Google, sure. Could be other search engines, could be other types. So using a component like this will reduce a lot the size of the logs that are useful, because most of the accesses are in great part from bots. So kudos for the author for this component, because nowadays it's much
more. Yeah, and probably this component, probably these components will go right to my usage because it's a useful solution.
Right. Other than that, which other component would you like to mention this month?
Okay, yeah, moving to the other one. Last but not least, the PHP Add Apache Virtual Host, which is another utility component. It's provided by Evaldo Barbosa from Brazil.
Oh,
not again.
You are really biased.
Not again. Pick. I just go with the usage components. I like utility ones.
I know.
And basically, this class can be used to add virtual host to Apache configuration. It creates a configuration file with the definitions of a virtual host name, given the IP address, domain, and document root folder. Can also create HTXs and mod rewrite options.
Right. It's almost an application in itself, more than just being a class.
Yeah,
there's a lot, lots of things.
Yeah, it's a nice component. I like it. Sometimes you don't remember things, and it's
right,
nice to see that.
It is great to automate the installation.
Yeah.
New sites for instance, many developers also host the. Take care of the hosting of the sites of their customers. So if they need to add a new site, they can use a class like this to automate the creation of the of sites for their customers. So you
indeed.
Don't have to repeat the same tasks over and over again. So kudos to Evaldo for his idea. It's really useful and unusual, I would say. And moving on my part, I also would like to mention a couple of components, but I already mentioned one. Let me share the screen here. This is interesting because this month is really, really busy. There were like 12 nominees, and I already mentioned one, which is a component named Component. Contemplate the processes template is in using the same syntax and having a library, a couple of versions, one for PHP, another for JavaScript. So the other component that I'd like to mention is actually the winner this month, because it's something that it's not exactly every day's need of web developers, but once in a while you may have a need, or, for instance, if you are a student of a college, you need to solve linear, polynomial, or trigonometric equations. What this component does is to provide a solution for all those types of equations. It uses what they call a variation, the Newton method, with a special technique called blocking. Which is basically to maximize the speed of the solving the equation by reducing it into smaller problems, and this is interesting precisely because it implements a sort of a clever approach to a non-trivial problem. So kudos to Navid Ureman from Pakistan.
Those kinds of components which teaches the user how to implement mathematical functions. And using PHP to do that is nice. I like it. I really appreciate it.
It's just yet another sign that PHP is versatile and just takes somebody with a need to actually implement it. So thank you again, Navid. I hope I'm not pronouncing your name correctly. I'm sure I'm. I never have hope that I'm doing it correctly for countries or languages that I'm not that familiar. But okay, we do our best to do it with a good spelling, but there's not much hope. Anyway, you practically ended this hangout. I just like to comment just something very briefly is that we have a new sponsor, actually, a sponsor that used to participate in the past, but they suspended it for a while. They were reconsidering their businesses. It provides GeoRP solutions, which basically are providing a means to determine geographic locations of associated with the IP addresses could be for users and sites and so on. So they are both they are supporting both PHP classes and JS classes. So starting now, developers that are nominated for the Innovation Award, they can pick this their prize once they it's their turn to pick the prize. Well, that was basically it, and we had already a long show talking about many PHP features upcoming. And I'd like to thank you again, Hernani, for making this time. I know it's always a challenge. to unexpected difficulties, but this time you made it.
And glad that my ISP hasn't blocked, my power source hasn't failed, my browser hasn't crashed, Google Hangouts played well.
And so the global warming did not hit you.
Contributed to the success of this episode.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad to participate.
So since we already said already whatever had to be said, if it fails now, it won't be a problem. So thank you again for coming, and I hope next month you can come again. And it all might be off. That's all for now. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, guys. Have a great month.